Welcome to On the Journey with Carissa and Friends, part of My Journey of Faith Ministries. I'm Carissa Hartage, and I'm excited to have you join me each week as I chat with friends about the ups and downs of their journeys of faith. You'll become familiar with voices such as Shelley Chandler, Sarah Heer, Rebecca Bean, and more. And you will also hear from stories of women who have experienced victories and struggles, but continue to trust God on their journeys. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. In other words, we were never meant to do life alone. So join us each week for a little bit of encouragement and for strategies to help each other navigate as we continue on the journey together. Hey, everybody. It is Tuesday, which means it is On the Journey with Carissa and Friends podcast day. And today I have a new guest who is a dear friend of mine that I met about, two years ago, right? In November.
Yeah, it'll be 2 years.
Yeah. My precious, precious Deborah. Deb, I gotta call you Deb. But it's Deborah Rice, but you go by Deb.
Yes.
That's what most of your friends call you.
Yes.
And so Deb Rice has been a cheerleader of mine, a sounding board. I can't even tell you. We've had some really great lunches. That's all I can say is we've had some really good tacos. That's our favorite thing to do is tacos for life. And it's been some good just encouragement for me that is so necessary when you're in ministry, just to have that peer person, that fellow sojourner on this journey. And that's what you've been for me, Deb. And so I'm so glad that you're here today on the journey.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So the reason why I asked you to be here is because we wrapped up last week. Shelley Chandler shared a couple of weeks on steps to really living the fullness of your identity as a child of God. And that there were three steps taken from Romans 12, too, that if we really want to figure out what God's good and pleasing and perfect will is for our life, then the steps, according to Romans 12, 2, is that we are to live sacrificially. And so that when we live sacrificially, we don't conform to the patterns of this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our minds in Christ Jesus. And so we sacrifice ourselves so that the Holy Spirit can do his work, right? And that's really three steps to get us going in our identity as a child of God. And I was thinking about who has a story that will really resonate in an interesting way on the development of identity as a child of God. And you came to my mind. And the reason why is because your identity has been formed. Gosh, I feel like you've lived 20 different lives, you know, and just had so many different experiences. But you came to know Christ as an adult.
Yes.
Later in your life. And so you can tangibly walk us through your identity process, which of course we're still in, right?
Yes.
It's not done.
Yes. Nope.
We're still in process, but you really can bring home some of the, you can give us a real life journey of what we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks with Shelley.
Yes.
So I'm so happy you're here today.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So what we're going to do just to start out is I want everybody, if they haven't read anything of your Twitter, which her Twitter feed, y'all, is amazing, amazing, amazing. It's at, I won't say it right.
It's at Shattered for Glory.
I always think it's Shattered for His Glory, but it's Shattered for Glory.
Yes.
Her Twitter feed is incredible. So follow her on Twitter if you're on Twitter. But if you haven't read anything from her, I just want everybody to kind of get to know who you are.
Okay. Well, as Carissa said, I am a conundrum of a whole bunch of things.
A mixture.
Yes.
A melting pot.
I am definitely, I'm a walking melting pot. There's no doubt about that. So I am new to Arkansas. I've only been here for 5 years now.
Which blows my mind.
I grew up just north of Boston my entire life till I was 19. I have lived all over this country, which is part of my story, so I'll get into that later. Mm-hmm. I have a husband, William. We've been married for 14 years. Okay. He was military, and so he's part of my moves.
Where did you guys meet?
Because we lived so many places. Originally lived in Massachusetts.
Okay.
He was a corporate brat child.
Okay.
So okay. He lived up there for 10 years or so. So we met in high school, but then got together later on. We have two children, Jaden, who's 10, and Aria, my pistol, that's 5.
I love that girl. I love her so much.
Yeah.
I had so much fun. It wasn't fun at the time, but she has had some illness and stuff going on and had to go into the hospital not too long ago. And I love little kids. I love them so much. I love that age, 3, 4, 5. I love those ages. And I got to come and spend some time with her and play Barbies. And yes. I don't know when the last time any of you guys played Barbies. It was so fun. We played dress up and changed our outfits probably 50 million times.
Let's add that Carissa did amazing bribing my child to drink so she could get out of the hospital by changing Barbie outfits.
Yeah.
So
she got to pick the outfit, but she had to take a drink in order to change the outfit. Yes. Yep. She's so precious. And so she's 5, and you guys are where now?
We're in Malvern, Arkansas. So we're in the middle of nowhere and moved there from Las Vegas.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your heart for ministry, because you've kind of gone through some different things, and we'll get to the identity behind that in just a minute. But you are currently, you've been in women's ministry, and your heart has been in women's ministry for a while now.
Yes.
Right.
It was the first ministry I was ever called into was women's ministry. I never planned on doing ministry, period.
Yeah.
When God found me, I think he found me a long time ago when I wasn't so stubborn and I actually said, okay, God, I'm in too. But he, as he worked in me and I finally started giving in a little more and more, I am stubborn. So that 5-year-old we're talking about how stubborn she is and wouldn't drink. She gets that from her mama.
She was taught that by her mama.
Yes. So first I started in women's ministry. I still have a huge, huge heart for it, but I really stopped in my foot tracks about 8 or 9 months ago. Mm-hmm. And the Lord just shook me and said, I need you elsewhere. And it was an interesting season because I had kind of pulled out of everything. Mm-hmm. And that's another whole story of my son being so bad.
Yeah.
My son has autism and he has Pan's Pandas. And he was so bad that I had to pull out of everything I was doing and strip myself of everything and become mama first.
Yeah.
And so when I did that, I didn't realize God was actually working on transforming me through time.
Through stepping away from the thing that you had settled into.
Well, and I found my worth in, and that's where I also had my learning curve, is my worth was found in that, and I need to be stripped of that.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. So as I was stripping, and let me tell you, it hurt.
Yeah.
That time period, not only watching my son downward spiral, but everything that was coming with it and not even having my ministry to fall back on really hurt. But when God started shaking me about 8 or 9 months ago, he said, what about those coming up?
Aww.
What about those and what we're missing around for those coming up? And look at the world that they're living in and the things that aren't there. We're living in a crazy, chaotic world where we're checking out online and we're checking out in our phones. And, like, these kids are trying to find their place in the midst of that.
And that's what you and I were just talking about. This is a good place just to kind of rabbit trail for a second before we get back to your story. But we were actually just talking about this, and you made such a good point that I hadn't thought about before, that, you know, our lives are becoming more busy. More and more parents are being forced to work. Quality of life is more of a struggle for us, and just supporting our families and things like that. And so talk a little bit about how that has filtered into this new trajectory, this new path that you're following, and how it's kind of placing more resources into the hands of these kids who, because our times have changed, aren't sitting around the table being formed and shaped at the dinner table the way that we used to be, you know?
Right. So things are changing, and we can keep throwing stones and saying, this is wrong, and you need to be doing this, and you need to be doing that. But that's not the way the world is. And in order to function and support, you've got to do what you need to do to get by.
Yeah, you've got to go where they are. Yeah.
And so we need to find creative ways to meet our kids.
Yeah.
Not just my kids, our kids, where they're at.
Yeah.
And
because the truth is, the screen in their hand is what's shaping them and forming.
Yes. But it's even shaping us. I'm going to call myself out right here. I fall into my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was at Children's Hospital with my daughter again yesterday, and I'm like, I caught myself. I had to look to see if I was missing an email, checked in with someone, and I went, wait, she's right here next to me. This is an opportunity sitting next to me, and I'm checking out to my phone.
Yeah.
And I've been very intentional of trying to catch myself with that. I wasn't intentional about it for the longest time.
You do have to be aware.
You do.
Yeah. And they don't have that luxury.
No.
Of nobody sitting there saying, hey guys, watch your phone. You know, you're checking out. You need to put your screen down. It's hard to do that, especially considering the fact that my kids are being taught by their screens now too.
Right.
Because they don't have textbooks anymore.
Right.
They have Chromebooks and everything is on computer. And so it's constantly, they're being trained in a certain direction.
Yes.
And we got to go there somewhere and intervene. So that has kind of filtered into this new trajectory that you've taken, which is what?
So the new trajectory that I've been on is a lot of asking kids, especially in that transitional time period of really 17 to 23. So really kid to young adult, where do they fit? Who are they with Christ?
I love that.
Why are they a Christian? You know, I even ask adults all the time now, why are you a Christian? It's a hard question to answer.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yep. It requires a lot of thought and self-awareness.
Yes.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
So, you know, Chris and I were on the conversation of, well, where does self-awareness come from now?
Yeah.
And that when you go back and not having those dinner table times,
mm-hmm.
which no one's shaming you for that because
no, it's life.
It's life. Crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
None of us can find it. Busier and busier.
Right.
Yep. So, but we need to be finding where that can plug in. And that's where I have felt called to write a curriculum and write a book that helps share that with the young adults and the teens on the upper end and tries to help walk them through learning their identity.
Yeah.
But not only learn it, learn how to meet God in it.
I love that so much.
So
I love that so much. And it's so necessary because there are leaders.
They are.
There are leaders. There's the ones who are going to be teaching. They're going to be us.
Yes.
With our kids.
Yes.
They're going to be the ones sitting on a podcast that my daughter is going to be listening to, right?
Yes.
Or writing on a blog that my daughter is going to be reading or teaching a Sunday school class or a women's Bible study that my daughter is going to be attending. And so that's a very necessary place of discipleship that's very intentional and targeted.
Yes.
And I do think that that's incredible. And I love it that you've taken that direction.
This was not something I ever intended on doing. It was literally, I was standing, and I can give you the exact scenario. I was standing there where I've been helping my friend who's the youth director, and she's, Deb, can you help? Can you help? Absolutely. I will help wherever I can. And I'm just standing there one night, and we feed them, and I'm listening to their conversations go back and forth about, you know, different things going on in the world, and just key words were playing in my mind of, but where do they go next?
Mm-hmm.
Where are their thoughts of where they go next? And so I did an initial questionnaire of just asking them, you know, what are your thoughts and where does God fit in your life? And just kind of trying to feel where they really were at this transition time period. And most of the response were, I don't know, or like just kind of passive. And they've been in youth forever, but they really couldn't answer it for themselves because for so long they've been told.
Yeah,
that's right. And that's what happens is we get told what we need to believe. We get told what we need to do. And we just follow those steps that when someone actually challenges us with a question of where do I fit here or who am I, do we really know? We don't.
No, I for sure didn't. That's one reason why it was so hard for me to find a major. When I was in school, I went in and here's what's crazy is I went into school thinking I wanted to do counseling And then tried to convince myself to try a bunch of other things because I was not secure. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wasn't secure in even though I did know who I was and wanted to do, mm-hmm. I wasn't secure in that. So I made myself question it just in case I was wrong. Because we're not taught, even if we do have an idea of who we are, we aren't even taught to be secure and confident in that.
Yeah.
It's just such a deep well that needs to be, we need all the workers that we can. Yes. To go into the well with them, for sure.
It's a pivotal transition point.
Yeah.
Like, when you really think about that time period, it really is a make or break time period.
Absolutely.
Where, this kind of goes to my story, but my husband grew up in the Methodist Church mm-hmm. his entire life. When he was that age, once he was not under his parents' roof, he did not step foot back in a church and became an atheist.
Really?
So that pivotal time period, he never knew his own faith. He right. never knew where he fit.
Right.
And so he spent his time while he was deployed and stuff debunking Christianity. And him and a guy
deconstructing.
Yes.
A lot of people are doing that right now.
And he and this other guy like created a website before websites were even anything. And it was all this like negativity of why Christ wasn't real, why, like, I will tell you, he now teaches at our church.
Yes.
So
teaches about the Bible.
The Bible. So, like, things come full circle. But, you know, he's an example of, he's part of my movement because I saw what he didn't have when I know his story.
And don't you think that sometimes we, like, my daughter right now is asking questions. And initially, I panicked when she was saying things like, I just don't know about God. I just don't know why, mom, why do you? And when I started to hear those whys, my first instinct was fear, very first instinct. But time and time and time again, I have heard of stories like your husband's where people have deconstructed why they have believed what they believed and challenged them. And through those questions, God has brought them back to himself.
Case for Christ.
Yes.
Right there. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. It's yes. like, let's work so hard. I think atheists are easier to find God eventually than even people like me who grew up with no church at all.
Really?
So I wasn't an atheist. I knew I believed in something. But I was so caught in my own head.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I grew up in the Northeast. We're so smart. And yeah. we know better.
Knowledge,
and
like, knowledge.
We're the best of the best schools in yeah. the world.
Right.
And
Ivy League. This, Ivy League.
Yeah, yeah. Like, all this, you know, pomp and circumstance around it that you're too good for Christianity.
That's, yes. And isn't that America, though? Yeah. America struggles with that
well,
across the
it
board,
is a whole
right?
other world up there,
really?
I'll tell you, because none of my friends went to church.
Really?
None
it's
of
just
my family.
Not a churched place,
no,
right?
No. That's yeah. not what you do on Sunday. You enjoy your time,
yeah.
and you have fun, and, like, you deserve it, you know, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Deserve.
You've worked really
you've
hard.
You've worked really
you've
hard.
This.
You deserve yeah. all of this.
Yeah.
So, no one went to church. You would actually be the weirdo if you went
wow.
to church. Like, I
so
didn't know
you
anyone.
Were not church at
no,
all.
Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. My
yeah.
sister actually recently asked me, she goes, do you actually think we knew what Christmas was when we were kids? Like, that's a really big question.
Because Jesus wasn't part of it.
No, he wasn't. It was presents and food and a tree.
Yeah.
Like, a bunch of ornaments, pretty colors and
yeah.
lights and fun.
Yeah.
But I don't remember Jesus ever even being mentioned.
Yeah. So where did you find him? Where did you start to, because if you grow up in a world where you're sufficient, mm-hmm. right? You aren't weak, so
no.
you don't need grace.
No.
So you're sufficient enough. At what point did you realize that, oh, wait, maybe I'm not?
It took me a while. I'm pretty sure he was kicking at me for a while, saying, will you open this door already?
Yeah.
Like, he was knocking.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't open.
Yeah.
And when I look back now, I can see that, but I ignored it.
Yeah.
All the time. So, through my journey of just life, I was always strong-willed and super courageous, and I could take on anything, and I had a lot of hardships even
yeah.
before marrying my husband. I was in a really bad car accident that kind of changed the whole path of my life. And a lot of things continued from there. But my husband, being in the military, we moved all over.
Mm-hmm.
We've lived in Idaho, Florida, Vegas, Massachusetts, you name it.
You said you lived in every time zone.
Every time zone of this country.
Of this country.
Yes. Not counting Hawaii or Alaska. But yeah, we have lived all over. And so through that time period, it was just my husband and I, and we were really struggling with our marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to the point, he actually came back from a time overseas and he wasn't the same person. Mm-hmm. And we struggled so much with that change. Our first year marriage was actually a world apart, literally a world apart.
Wow.
So after that, it was hard.
So for the first time, you weren't sufficient enough. Mm-mm.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. But it still took me years after that. Like, I still was stubborn and yeah. I can do this. It actually took, and this is where it gets vulnerable. Our marriage got so hard and our son was 18 months at this point. We were living out in Vegas and I left. I said, yeah. I can't do this anymore. And, it was just miserable. It was miserable in every form. Like, mm-hmm. neither one of us were happy.
Hopeless? Were you hopeless?
We were hopeless. Everything that could just keep going wrong was going wrong. Mm. And we could not find peace. We could not find all those key words. Yeah, joy was missing. Like, there was just so much. Ugh.
So you had tried on your own and tried on your own and tried on your own. There was no foundation for you that a lot of us, many of us in the South, I don't want to say a lot of us, but in the good old Bible Belt, you know, even if we don't know fully what our faith is, we still have been to church. Most of us have been to church or know the lingo. You didn't have any of that.
No, I didn't have any, like, I didn't know what to turn to. I only knew to run.
Yeah.
Like, running was my go-to. So I did. I packed up our 18-month-old. I took my old job back in Massachusetts and I said, I'm going.
Yeah.
And, you know, strong-willed woman who can work and great at business.
I don't need anybody.
I don't need anybody. I can do it on my own. And we started talking, like, on the phone once in a while. Like, I was only gone for a few months, but we would talk. And over time, I could hear this change. And it actually was a coworker of his that invited him to church.
Wow. And in Vegas?
In Vegas. Wow. So he started going to church with this coworker, and I could start to hear the changes. And this coworker was in his own trial of life. Wow. And yet my husband saw joy, even though he knew the hardships that he was in. And he was like, how are you carrying this joy? Like, how? Your wife, like, his wife had left too for different circumstances. How are you still okay? And he said,
so they were living a similar story. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those stories had the hope of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes.
And there was something, the knowledge that there is something more.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he started going to church with him all the time and started getting involved in the church. And I finally said, you know what? I will come out and see what this is all about.
Wow.
So
you were interested enough in what was different about him
to go,
to take that step of finding it out.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Which shows it's not what we're doing. It's how we're acting, because his acting was different.
It shined through him. Yes. It was a heart change.
Yes. Yeah. It didn't matter where he was going. It was that change that I could hear over a phone. I didn't even have to physically be there. And that's where I knew there was something to this.
That's amazing.
So as I got out there and we started going as a family all the time, I still hadn't given my life to Christ, though.
I was going to say, there's, you know, part of what Shelley talked about last week was that there has to be a sacrifice component where we lay down for you, it would have been that self-sufficiency, that source of, I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody. So when did the sacrifice happen for you? When did you become the living sacrifice?
So it took a few months. I wasn't going down without a fight. And the pastor asked to come over our house. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget sitting at this table. I kind of regret selling this table because it was such a powerful conversation at this table. The table is my place. And I remember exactly where he was sitting, and my husband and I were sitting across from him, and he was just asking me questions. And this will be this is the number one line I take with me everywhere, because I sat there arguing, because that's what I did. Yeah. I love to argue of why I don't believe in something, or it's just kind of been my nature that I've had to work on. And I sat there arguing of, well, I can't believe that because you guys don't believe this, or you guys don't believe that, or you like, and I put all these parameters on the belief of Christ. And I believed that you could not fall to him if you still believed these other things because of what I was being told in the church. And so when I asked that question, and he's telling me this, I still share with everyone to this day, is you can believe whatever you want today, but do you still believe in Christ? Mm. Yes, I do. Okay. Do you believe that he went to that cross for you? Yes, I do. Do you believe that sacrifice was for you? Yes, I do. Do you believe he rose again? Yes, I do. And the more I do, I saw myself saying, I knew what Christ had done.
Yeah.
I knew what I was leaving there on that cross with him. I knew all of that. He said, the rest will figure itself out later.
Yes.
And the Spirit of God will work in you to transform to what he feels. And so now these
rules.
That's
the transformation.
Yes.
That's Romans 12 too.
And he said to me, like, that will take time.
Yes.
And you will. I think so many times when I did start hearing of stories, it was supposed to be this instantaneous, you change your views, you change your life.
Everything's
there's
different.
This wake up moment, and it's all new colors. And yes, I believe in that. But you can't make people feel like they're at this standstill because that didn't happen.
No, God is a process God.
Yes.
Look at creation. It was a 6-day process.
Yes.
Transformation is a process.
Yes.
It is from one degree of glory to another.
Yes.
That, in that sentence, in that verse, indicates process.
Yes.
He may release you from a pattern of sin, or he may transform you from not believing into fully being sold out in belief.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of your life will always be a process. I say this every podcast. That's why this is called On the Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a process.
Yeah.
And I think that is what Satan uses to deceive us and make us feel hopeless. Is that we think, I still am struggling with this sin.
You've got to have it all figured out before you can check in.
That's right.
Like,
that's right. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. That's what keeps people from fully surrendering to God.
And from ministry.
Yeah.
That's people feel like they need to do this, 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 and have all their check boxes checked before they dive into ministry.
Right.
And that is not true.
Right.
Like,
that's right.
If God is calling you to ministry, go to ministry.
Yes.
Like, do not stop.
Nobody's perfect.
Pass, go.
We are constantly learning. We are constantly being shaped.
Yes.
It's no one will ever be perfect this side of heaven. Only one man was perfect, and that's why he died for us.
Yes.
Only one man.
Yes.
So how did that decision at that table in Sin City.
Sin City. Saved in Sin City.
So crazy.
Sitting right here. Yep.
Where did you go from there? Where did you go? Because you're in ministry. So what was that journey like?
Well,
Wait, we got to pause. So we're going to get into that. But Deb is going to come back. Our time is up. There's so much we haven't covered that we need to talk about. 30 minutes goes by so fast. So Deb is coming back next week for part two of her story. But why don't you tell us where your husband and yourself, from that moment, what that experience was like for both of you to know Jesus, to go from being unbelievers, atheism and unbelievers, to being fully believers in Jesus Christ together in that moment.
We went to our couch and we still have the pillow, and we sobbed on this pillow together, and we laid it down.
That's amazing.
All of it. We, both of us, snot and all, there was literally snot involved, and we just gave our lives to Christ. And in that moment, I knew that he was about to do some work in both of us that both of us had no idea it was coming.
And you're in it together.
We are.
You went from being separated to in it together.
Yes.
Praise God. We are coming back with Deb on next week's On the Journey. It'll be part two of Deb's story. You will not want to miss it. She's going to continue on in her discussion of how God has really changed her identity to being one, a full daughter of God, one who loves the Lord, who is sold out and loves people in a way that she never thought imaginable. So thank you, Deb. You guys come on back next week, and we're going to continue with Deb's story. And as always, y'all, This is why Deb's story is why we encourage one another every day, as long as it's called today, because this process is hard.
It is.
It is so worth it, but we need each other's encouragement to keep going. So join us again next week with On the Journey with Carissa and Friends.